Yes, you are listening to the Untitled Movie Podcast exclusively.
Yes.
Fuck yes, in fact. Exclusively on morelikeradio.com. This is quite late for us, but seeing as how Chris Wetton, as always, by the way, how are you, sir?
I'm always game. I'm great, man. How about you?
I'm good. And apparently great enough to the point where it's almost 11 o'clock on Sunday, May 8th, 9th?
Who the fuck knows?
Who the fuck knows? It doesn't matter. We're all jazzed up because we just watched Game of Thrones and...
just got our thrones on.
Got our thrones on, and we were... Oh, you know what's very interesting? Here's... You don't think that we do this, but we do. For the enjoyment of our, however, tens of listeners, that we were talking about Captain America Civil War, and we had to stop ourselves because...
Yeah.
I mean, we have to have two microphones in front of us in order to gainfully record everything that we really want to discuss, which is mainly what we're going to be talking about tonight. So before we go any further, we would have to, again, warn you, the savvy listener of the Untitled Movie Podcast on More Like Radio, that if you don't want to have anything spoiled, then don't listen from this point forward, because you really need to owe it to yourself to not be stupid.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Official spoiler alert.
Yeah, but before we actually get into the movie, I want to talk about a couple things. First of all, it made $180 million this weekend.
Right.
It is
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Correct. And that would make it the fifth all-time opening weekend record holder, and it's the number three all-time record holder as far as opening weekend for superhero movies. It is now following, it is in front of Iron Man 3, and it is only bested by Ultron and the first Avengers.
It's a shitload of money.
It is a shitload of money. It's a shitload of Disney money. And
unbelievable. It's already made the budget back for sure, right?
Well, I mean, it also opened up internationally last weekend, and so there was that kind of hype that accumulated over it eventually being open in the United States. And I know that it made $25 million on Thursday night, which is when I saw it, and it made the majority of its money on Friday. I think it made like $75 million. And then you also saw it Saturday.
I saw it Saturday, packed crowd. It was playing on multiple screens.
Okay. And so, I don't know if you know this, Chris, but I know that you do. The miracle of this movie even being made, because, like I had mentioned before, and let me take everything I say with a grain of salt, because I'm not talking about an absolute. I'm just talking about like the logistical way that we even got to the Avengers. Because remember before, when we had superhero movies or anything of this caliber, you didn't have these high priced, like Bob Evans would say, they got juice. All of these actors
Bob
and actresses,
Evans gets AIDS.
He gets work in this town. They didn't have all these actors culled together unless it was for like some special movie, like back in the 60s when they had Mad World.
Or... Yeah, if you saw something like Ocean's 11, it was rare. That was one of the charms of Ocean's 11 was like, holy shit, it's Clooney and Damon and Brad Pitt and Don Cheadle and all these different guys. You know, it was a fairly rare occurrence to see that kind of thing.
Yeah, so when you have this obvious money-making franchise in the Marvel movies, and you have now 12 movies that are part of the Marvel universe, the MCU, that's what it's called, the Marvel comic universe, the movie portion of all these movies up to this point. And now we're in phase three.
Right.
When it comes to now they're introducing new characters, we're going to have, you know, some future Avenger movies after Civil War, obviously. But Chris Evans, who plays Captain America, he used to be in other movies called Fantastic Four, which...
Right. The bombed. Original Johnny Storm.
Cellular with Kim Basinger.
Jesus Christ.
Really shitty movie. Not another teen movie.
That's the one where he's got the whipped cream on him, right?
Yeah. Let's go with... how about Anthony Mackie? Also, I personally know him as Papa Doc from 8 Mile.
Yeah.
He was also a Million Dollar Baby, and he was also in Pain and Gain...
Yep.
And The Hurt Locker, who he was also castmates with Jeremy Renner.
Yep, Hawkeye, which always sounds like hot guy when people say it really fast.
He of SWAT and Lords of Dogtown fame, and 28 Weeks Later, and Assassination of Jesse James. Don Cheadle, you mentioned, because he was in
Oceans.
The Oceans movies. But he was also an Academy Award winner for, or Oscar nominee for Hotel Rwanda.
Yep.
And he was in Traffic.
Devil in a Blue Dress prior to that.
That's right. And he was also in Mission to Mars, which you and I were in probably one of the messiest epic food fights of all time.
Epic movie theater food fight in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it was during, we were screening Mission to Mars, and we were with Johnny Kelly, and he was with his girl. Oh, no, we were with Snow. We were with Snow.
Snow was there. Johnny Kelly, Brian Adams was there. Probably several other people, and I don't know what happened, but like midway through the movie,
someone threw a bag of popcorn.
Someone threw a bag of popcorn, and then, you know, the theater had not been clean, we should say. We were theater employees, and so this was just, the theater was just loaded with the last shows, like drinks and all the cup holders and stuff.
Yeah.
And we just started like chucking like full or half full large Cokes at each other.
Have you ever been in a food fight before that?
I have been in a food fight, but I have never before or since been in anything like that. I don't think many people
that never happened to me before. Yeah. I've never been in a food fight. You know, I don't want to be in a food fight.
No, ever again, because pretty gross. Yeah.
It was disgusting. It was also
other people's drinks. This was other people's drinks.
I know, but it was very stupid fun. It was very childish, obviously.
It was.
Obviously, in hindsight, I feel bad for the cleanup crew that came in.
Yeah, we didn't have to clean that up.
Yeah. But it was still fun. So yeah, Mission to Mars, a huge connection with that. Sebastian Stan, who is the Winter Soldier, he was in Hot Tub Time Machine. He was also in Black Swan.
Black Swan!
Chadwick Boseman was obviously in 42. He was also James Brown. Paul Bettany, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, with a certain Iron Man actor. Beautiful Mind, movie. Knight's Tale, Master and Commander, Da Vinci Code. You have Elizabeth Olsen, who was in 7 Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen movies before she made her debut as a serious actress in Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene.
Great movie. Did you see that?
I did not.
Ooh, gotta see that one.
Is it good?
Creepy. Yeah.
I heard Silent House is all right. That was kind of like first-person perspective, filming for like a whole full 95 minutes.
Yeah, I didn't see that one. But Martha, Macy, May, Marlene, or whatever the fuck it's called, is it's like her in a cult. Yeah, good movie.
She was also in the Old Boy remake. Did you see that?
I did, yeah. Not as bad as everybody said.
Really?
But no, I mean, you know.
But if you've seen Old Boy.
If you've seen Old Boy, then it's unnecessary.
Okay. And, watch Old Boy, by the way. The original version, because it's pretty fucked up.
Josh Brolin's good.
Josh Brolin is, he's good in everything. He's been good since the Goonies.
Yeah.
So,
good since the Goonies.
the Josh Brolin story. Daniel Brühl, who was in Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
He was in The Bourne Ultimatum as some guy.
Do not remember that.
Martin Kritz. I had to look it up. He was also in Rush. Have you ever seen Rush?
I did not see Rush. One of those things I keep meaning. Everyone tells me it's fucking great.
I will watch Marcy, May, Marlene if you watch Rush. It is really, really good.
I'm so underwhelmed by Ron Howard movies. Like, Ron Howard movie just sounds like a fucking nap to me.
It's not. It's pretty intense.
Everyone tells me that really it's good. Super good. Yeah, I gotta see it.
Okay. Frank Grillo, who is in the Purge trilogy.
Right.
First movie was The Mambo Kings.
Yeah.
Back in 91. He was also in The Sweetest Thing with
Armando Sante, Mambo Kings.
When Armando Sante, when he had juice, because he was in Judge Dredd.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Not Dredd. Judge Dredd.
Judge
Sly.
Dredd.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Frank Grillo, by the way, got a future in late night telemarketing, maybe, with Frank Grillo's Grill. I can see it.
If he doesn't kick your ass, then because he's a BAMF and everything that I've seen him in thus far. Robert Downey Jr. Now, I say that, how did we get to this point? And I know the story that the artists at Marvel had modeled the latest incarnation of Tony Stark based on Robert Downey Jr.'s facial look.
Right.
So I know that. And obviously he's an Oscar winner. He won for Chaplin in 92. And he's been in a bunch of, you know, kind of bit odd roles. He was in Dreams, then he was in U.S. Marshals, and then he was in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang with Paul Bettany.
Right.
This was all before.
Well, he was kind of part of the Brat Pack, even as back so far back as the 80s.
Yeah, like with Less Than Zero.
Yeah, I mean, he was sort of a member of the Brat Pack. Yeah. Been around for a long time, but had a lot of problems, like in and out of rehab, a lot of substance.
He went to jail.
Jail, that's right. Yep, a lot of problems. And it seemed like a guy. He seemed like a Scott Weiland type. Like, eventually we're going to read, Downey Jr. fucking, you know, like...
I would even compare, like, well, I mean, I don't think that he's ever going to reach Robert Downey Jr., current Robert Downey Jr. status, but Shia LaBeouf, for example.
Yeah.
Like a lot of talent, yeah. But he just keeps, like, man, Shia LaBeouf's fucking up.
Keeps fucking up. Yeah. And it's the point now that it's a joke. And Robert Downey Jr. was that. He was a joke.
Right. So
you couldn't even get him insured to make a movie.
All of these movies, I say, because they are the movies that had been made before either the respective character movie that they debuted in or before they actually showed up in Iron Man 2, for example. And I go to Scarlett Johansson, who... She has probably got the best run out of all of these actors and actresses that I've just mentioned because...
No doubt, yeah.
She's been doing stuff since, you know, her first movie was North. Remember North?
Yeah. Terrible Rob Reiner movie. One of Roger Ebert's most hated movies ever.
Yeah, and then she was in The Horse Whisperer. She was in Ghost World. She did her first kind of adult role in 2003 with Lost in Translation. And then she's been doing, you know, obviously a bunch of other things. She's put out two albums, for God's sakes.
Yeah, one of them all covers of Tom Waits songs, which actually...
Is not that good. It's not that bad.
Not that bad.
It's not that bad. Yeah. So there's that. And then... The final person I would say and would be arguably as accoladed or, you know, they've just got a strong record when it comes to stuff that they've done, Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd, yes.
Too many things to mention, but obviously, you know, if you've seen Paul Rudd either on television or in movies or in any project that he's in, whether it's him as a lead or, you know, something in a supporting role like Wet Hot American Summer.
Right.
He's always funny.
Yes.
Yeah, you're always going to be watching him.
Clueless. Been around forever. I mean, he's been around since Clueless, basically, and maybe before that. But Clueless is where I remember seeing him first.
Right. And then not only that, but I don't know if you know the directors of Captain America Civil War.
Russo Brothers?
Right. Do you know what they've done before these last things?
What did they do? Tell me, I don't know.
They wrote the pilot and directed several episodes of Arrested Development.
No shit. I did not know
they,
that.
They directed and produced several episodes and a couple seasons, I think season 3 primarily, of Community. Now, I've never seen Community, but I know that you have and a bunch of other people have. And it's one of those shows that everyone always says, oh, you got to watch it. It's so good. Like Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
I've seen maybe a handful of Parks and Rec. I know that it's funny, but I've just never gotten around to it.
Yeah, Community's kind of got a cult following. It's kind of like Freaks and Geeks or something like that.
Yeah, and then there was also the show Happy Endings, which was on ABC.
Oh, yeah.
Short run, very, very funny, apparently. They also directed Welcome to Collinwood.
Oh, yeah.
They also directed You, Me, and Dupree.
Wow.
Yeah. So that, all together now, if you were to say, like, these people are going to be responsible for a $1 billion movie, that this movie will make at least $1 billion, you know, $1 billion and change. That's who you're dealing with. And... Getting back to how we got to this part, as far as this movie is concerned, you know, we've watched Batman versus Superman. I know that I have an opinion about this particular movie. I want to hear yours first.
Talking about Civil War.
Correct.
Okay. So, obviously, this kind of thing is not, it's not my kind of thing. I'm not nuts about superhero movies, but I do like them. I'm not crazy about it. I like the movie.
Okay.
When did
you see it?
I saw it Saturday.
Okay, did you see it with a full house, right?
Full house. I sat sort of in the middle on the aisle. That's generally where I sit. I always sit on the aisle about halfway up.
Okay.
Not in 3D. I saw it in standard. I had heard from several people that the 3D was fine, but just not necessary. And in that case, I usually go for standard because the 3D is a little dark for me.
I've seen it twice. It's not necessary. I saw the first time in 3D.
So. It was not filmed in 3D. It was converted. And conversions, you know, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Jungle Book was a conversion.
Yeah.
But this one wasn't necessary. Okay. I liked the movie. I didn't think it was, you know, this groundbreaking thing that a lot of our friends and a lot of fanboys and a lot of people on the internet seem to think it is. Right. I thought it was a pretty standard superhero movie. I thought that it didn't break any ground, sort of, that the Avengers movie, the first Avengers movie, had not broken before.
Okay.
I thought the first half was super dull. I really did. And I've heard a lot of people talking about all the fighting in the first half and how they liked it. I thought there was a lot of fighting in the first half.
Okay.
The first half of the movie is very heavy, very intense, all this kind of stuff. A lot of callbacks to the Winter Soldier and previous movies, which I didn't necessarily sort of remember, but it wasn't that important.
Okay.
And then about halfway through the movie, I feel like they really sort of crack open the movie and it sort of livens up. That happens when two characters are introduced, in my opinion, Peter Parker and Ant-Man.
Okay.
And that's not a coincidence. It's two characters that bring a little bit of levity, that bring quite a bit of comedy, into the movie. And there is a good, like, 45-minute stretch there sort of in the middle where this movie is totally alive.
Yeah.
And for me, it was worth it just for that stretch. I did, like I said, I thought the first half was dull, frankly. Like, I was actually bored. Like, there was just a lot of grimacing and run, 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 punch, 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 run, 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 punch, punch, punch. Right. There was a lot of that.
Okay.
And, you know, a couple tiny jokes here and there. In the end, they sort of buttoned it up, you know, as you have to do with a movie like this.
Okay.
So all told, like, I would totally, if you're into superhero movies, I would tell people, go see this. You'll probably enjoy it. But just sitting and watching guys punch each other for an hour is not my kind of thing.
Right.
When you introduce the comedy, when you introduce Peter Parker and Spider-Man, and especially Ant-Man with Paul Rudd's performance.
Yeah.
Those two guys really, like I said, I felt like that's when the movie really cracked open. It does, that 45-minute sequence I'm talking about does include the airport sequence that everyone keeps talking about.
Right.
There's a reason everyone keeps talking about it. It's an extremely exciting action sequence.
Right.
There is a reason everyone keeps talking about Peter Parker and Spider-Man.
Right.
It's pretty amazing. But before I go on further, you tell me. Tell me what you thought now.
Okay.
You were jazzed.
I've seen it twice.
Wow.
Okay. I saw it twice because, as I was mentioning earlier to you, that some friends of ours had gone to go see it, and they were only able to see it in the front row. And so, I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure that you've seen a movie in the front row when, you know, you have no choice.
Yeah.
Last movie that I saw like that, it wasn't in the front row, it was in the second row, but it was with Jamie.
Same thing.
And it was with Mad Max Fury Road, and it was... Yeah. Fun, but it was also very disorienting. And I think the only other movie that I saw that was kind of like that, where I needed to, you know, kind of deprocess and watch it as far away as possible, was Bourne Supremacy.
Oh, God.
With the fucking shaky cam and everything.
Jesus.
Right? Yeah. So they wanted to watch it again. And I was thinking to myself, well, what else am I going to do on a Sunday afternoon? I'm not a hockey fan, you know, but go Lightning, whatever.
Yeah.
And it was either go see the movie, you know, that $13, whatever, I've got some money, or just sit around here and fart in my house. You know, just fart around and watch video games and, you know.
Right, sure.
Just do the same old thing. So I went to go see. Now, I will mention that Batman versus Superman, which you and I, again, didn't really like, isn't that bad.
Didn't love it, didn't hate it.
That is 151 minutes.
Yeah.
This movie is 147 minutes. You could not tell me of two different movies that feel so different as far as, like, if you watch a Game of Thrones episode like we did, and it feels like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But they've covered a lot of ground. And the first thing that I will say about Civil War is that I have not felt something that, you know, it was just like, just enjoyment. It was fun. And I can't remember the last time that I had – actually, no, I take it back. The last time that I had fun watching a movie like that, and I'm even kind of surprised that I'm saying it myself, because you know me about these type of movies, is Force Awakens. Because everybody else was having fun. Everybody was laughing at the jokes, or they were cheering when people came on. It got a little annoying at
the
parts.
Cheering? Cheering got annoying to you?
I mean, it – you know, cheering just one guy, not like 12 or 20 people
right.
cheering and stuff. You know, like the one guy that wants to, you know, be...
Right. Oh, I know what this is. Oh, I know what that is. Yeah.
Yeah, like the end or whatever. So the other thing that was kind of interesting was that this is the exact same movie. The exact same movie as Batman versus Superman, because...
The similarities are crazy.
They have allies, enhanced individuals, as they mentioned in the movie,
yep.
that are allies and their friends. You have an altered villain, which everyone was giving grief for Zack Snyder for Batman versus Superman with Lex Luthor, with Baron Zemo, who I didn't know jack all about anything, but I had to look it up later. And from what I read, it's not really the same. They actually, you know, had to change it because of the events that have happened in the past 12 movies. You also have what appears to be you know, the bigger political issues involving superheroes living in the real world.
Right.
That's where I kind of got a little, I got a little miffed with that, because you've got somebody, William Hurt, who plays Secretary of State Ross, who, wasn't he the general from the Incredible Hulk movie with Ed Norton?
Yeah, he's General Ross. He's Betty Ross's dad.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, Liv Tyler.
Liv Tyler, or if you go back to the Ang Lee movie, it was Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah. Right. So there was that, and he was talking about how, well, you guys need to be corralled, and there needs to be accountability, because all this collateral damage, we thank you for your service, for the aliens that almost destroyed New York, which, by the way, when they were playing all the footage of, you know, New York,
yeah,
DC,
yes,
Slokovia,
yeah,
there are fucking army soldiers that are shooting at the sky, too, and I'm sure they were blowing shit up just as much as, well, probably not as much, but, I mean, there's still, you know, it was like the thing where they're saying that these superheroes are so bad and they need accountability. Meanwhile, if you are really talking about superheroes in real time, like in real world scenarios, then you would also be saying, well, you know, I know that we were trying to bomb that ISIS training facility. It looked like a training facility. It also may have been a hospital. I don't know. I just pilot the drone and hit the return button on the fucking computer and shit.
Right. It's like the old joke. What's the difference between a kindergarten and an ISIS training camp?
I don't know.
Don't ask me. I just fly the drone.
God damn it. So there was that. There was that, number one. John Oliver is actually at fault for the second thing when they were talking about, well, you just wouldn't leave a 30 megaton nuclear weapon unannounced. Meanwhile, that no, but you guys do that, because in the United States, there's like hundreds of places where the technology hasn't even caught up. They're still using actual floppy disks that are like the size of my head.
Right.
So
turning two keys at the same time and things like that.
Yeah. There was that. Motherfucking Iron Man invented Ultron, which almost destroyed the world the last time. It was mentioned two times, and he's like, yep, yeah, Ultron was my fault, my bad. Like, motherfucker, really?
Yeah.
Like, son of a bitch, I just want to be Team Cap for that.
Yeah.
If for nothing else. What else do I got? I have, you know, the other thing that just was kind of weird, like Black Panther, Chadwick Boseman, he was really, really good, but his superpower was no different than Meg from Family Guy enhancing her fingernails. Right.
It was silly. I'm sorry. That was one of the issues I had with the movie. And you know, I mean, this is, again, I'm not a comic book guy, so I don't read Black Panther. Like, this is kind of my first introduction to him, other than sort of being aware that he existed in the Marvel Universe.
Mine as well.
Yeah. So to see him, he shows up, you know, jumps onto the roof and, you know, starts kicking Bucky's ass or whatever.
Yeah.
Looks really cool, but it's like, okay, so what's he do? Oh, he's got a cool suit and he's got fingernails.
Yeah.
Crickets.
And an impenetrable suit that apparently is made by the same, it's made of the same material as his cap shield.
Vibranium, sure.
Yeah. So, yeah,
which is great. Yeah, fantastic. It just doesn't look very, it just looked a little bit silly when he just pulls out his... But, again, that scene where he shows up is in the beginning of the movie. That was just more fighting, you know, like just kicking each other's asses all over the place. By the way, I gotta say, for being these great heroes, these guys are kind of like stormtroopers. Like, they really can't kick the shit out of each other. They certainly can't kill each other. I don't know if they're trying to kill each other.
They're pulling their punches.
They are pulling their punches. It's weird because, you know, first of all, the movie, it's like they do set up this premise, which is these guys have, we've seen all these movies and they've torn all these places apart. Hulk has ripped down buildings and Hulkbuster and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so they set up this premise that the government's like, hey.
Premise.
They set up this premise that the government's like, hey, curtains, fucksticks, no more of this shit. Like, you know, like you can't keep tearing cities down. We're glad you're here. You saved us from the alien invasion.
Right.
But we're going to kind of put a leash on you, and we'll let you know when you can come out and, you know, bring out your toys and bring out your Hulk and all this kind of stuff.
Right. But why is it any different than the U.S. government? I mean, it would be like the question that...
It's not!
It would be like the question that John Travolta, the greatest actor of our generation, poses in Swordfish. How many people would you kill to save 1,000 people? Would you kill one? Or would you kill 10?
Right. Well... So, and that is the crux of the, you know, argument that gets the movie going. And it is an argument. You got Captain America on one side saying, fuck you, government. I don't want to, I'm not going to have you telling me when I can do things and when I can't.
Right.
And then on the other side, the one that wants to comply with the, you know, government or whatever is Iron Man, Tony Stark, which is kind of counterintuitive for someone who never read the Civil War comic books. You would think, just knowing these characters, just knowing Robert Downey Jr.'s character, you would think if somebody's going to, you know, like, throw a fucking bird up at the government and say, fuck you, you can't have my toys.
Right.
You would think it would be Tony Stark, but it doesn't work like that. And it is believable. The way the split sort of happens is believable. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Because they've sort of used Bucky to sort of make it look like the Winter Soldier was, you know, causing this assassination or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the movie, that's kind of it for story, like, for the movie.
Right.
Like, at that point, from that point on, the characters just sort of wander around and beat each other up and occasionally meet at airports and beat each other up. And you get these scenes where you've got, I don't know how many fucking people fighting each other.
12.
In an airport scene, 12 people fighting each other. And at a certain point, I don't even know who's fighting on which side. It's like, I know Captain America's on one side, and I know that Iron Man's on the other side.
Right.
But it's only been 30 minutes since they got in this disagreement, so I don't remember who all is on which side. So it's it's like, okay, Hawkeye is fighting Falcon. Wait, which one's for which side? Oh, fuck it. Who cares? Like,
this looks really fucking cool.
Yeah, it looks cool. But it does look cool, and the fighting is fun, and it's especially funny because of Spider-Man and Ant-Man.
That is correct, Captain America. You are my friend.
But it does feel like, are they wanting to kill each other? Are they trying to kill each other?
Nah, I feel like there's conflict. There's got to be conflict. I mean, especially with...
Makes it weird.
Well, it does, but, you know, it's, again, the Days of Our Lives aspect of what we were talking about last week where, you know, they can't really kill each other. There can't be dire consequences to the point where things are going to happen to these characters, but they can't happen too terribly because, you know, we obviously have to continue stories on with them. But here's one thing
killed Quicksilver in the second Avengers.
Well, that's true. And they crippled War Machine.
I don't buy that as any real damage, any real collateral damage to the story whatsoever. This guy walks around in a fucking Iron Man suit anyway. You're telling me that he's going to be, like, wheeling around like Charles Xavier in the next movie?
Well, he's got space legs now, Lieutenant Dan. He's
got space legs, and he's got the fucking Iron Man suit. Like, Tony Stark, like, whipped up a Spider-Man suit in, like, 7 minutes.
Right.
Like, now, the fucking War Machine's fine. Like, that's not even... Hey, don't even give me that scene. Like,
you know who's not fine?
Kill somebody.
You know who's not fine?
Who?
Terrence Howard.
Yeah, no shit.
That motherfucker is kicking himself in the balls every goddamn day because he's not in any of these things. You know, like when Don Cheadle's talking with Tony Stank towards the end.
Yeah, good joke.
And that was a good joke. And he's talking about the decision that he made, and he's flown all of these flights and missions, and this is just the one that bit him in the ass. And I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, like, man, Terrence Howard should be here, not Miles Davis.
Yeah, Terrence Howard, I don't know, he like got like shit pay for the first movie, Iron Man.
And just asked for a little more.
He wanted more, or he wanted to make exactly what, you know, Downey Jr. was making or
not
something
happening.
Like that. Of
he's course not it's make, not he's happening. Making $50 million per picture.
I guess it's reason. I don't know all the details, but if he was asking for more money, like a reasonable amount of money, I would say give it to him, because I did think he was funny in the first movie.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ, take what you can get. This is fucking light lifting. Like, for an actor?
Yeah.
Like, for somebody like Don Cheadle, like a real actor. I mean, this guy's got chops. Like, he's fucking Miles Davis movies, like, you know, getting these rave reviews. He's been a great actor for years. Like, it's got to be fun to make a movie like this.
Okay. And speaking of fun, that is what I felt with this movie.
The first half? You feel the first half was fun?
No, it was not.
The first half is dull.
It's set up. You know, but look, I don't want to be I don't want to be cinema sins, because there is a lot of things that can be nitpicked from any of these movies.
I'm not nitpicking. I'm talking about a fucking hour of the movie.
No, but if I wanted to go into, like, there's parts of Dark Knight that are, you know, like, okay, we have to do this in order to get to the fun part.
Yeah, but the first hour of Dark Knight is not dull. The first hour of this movie is dull. And again, I realize that anyone that may be listening might not agree with me.
Right.
I realize I've read reviews of the movie, and, you know, many people don't feel this way.
Right.
I've talked to other people, and I guess they didn't feel this way.
Right.
But the first half, compared to that 40-minute chunk that does include the airport sequence, where you have characters that are... Because here's the problem. Even Iron Man is not funny in this movie. Like, they don't let... He's all somber. He's not getting his dick sucked by Pepper Potts anymore.
He's got a few zingers here and there, but he's really
few and far between.
He wears you out a little bit.
Yeah. So for me, like, the first half was real fucking, like, trudge. Just, right. like, trying to get through that. I don't think that Dark Knight was like that. That, for me, is what takes this to the level of something like, you know, just a fucking standard superhero movie.
Okay.
And away from something like The Dark Knight.
Okay.
Because The Dark Knight has a weak ending, just like...
You don't think that this has a weak ending, or it does?
No, I do. I do think Civil War has a weak ending. Okay. I think it's weak-ish. Do you? What do you think? No?
No. Man, that fight at the end, like, that fucking hurt.
Again, just fucking fighting. No, and again, but... more collateral damage. That doesn't mean anything. He fucking jammed his shield into Iron Man's, like, thing there, and I was like, oh, fuck, he killed Iron Man. Like, that's how fucking naive I am about this shit. And it's like, nah, just fucked him up.
Well, you know? No, because he took the whatever it's called. I don't know. Nerds, help me out.
Arc reactor or whatever that he's got in his chest.
There you go. So he took it out of himself whenever he destroyed all of his suits in Iron Man 3. This is the problem. This is another problem.
So what's it still doing there?
Well, it's to power the suit, but it's not to power him and the suit.
Okay, but then back to the fight. Like, what? What are they doing? They beat the shit out of each other.
They're just
and then
irrational.
They just walk away.
They're
like,
fucking just, they're just...
Are you wanting to kill each other or not? If you're not, then why are you fighting like
that? Well, Tony Stark is egocentric, egomaniac. He's an egomaniac. And so when he finally realizes what happens at the end...
Do you find that believable? You found that scene believable? Tony Stark's like basically a genius. He's like one of the smartest men on the planet, as this world has set up. You don't think he understands that, you know, the Winter Soldier has no knowledge of what he's doing when he's doing these tasks?
I think that he could probably understand, but he's got other things on his mind. For example...
Getting his dick sucked by Pepper Potts anymore.
That number one. The time that he got sucked into the vortex of space and that got dropped down after he destroyed everyone in the Avengers and all that stuff. I mean, I'm just, you know, again, it's not without its faults. But when you were talking about that moment when Tom Holland, he will be Spider-Man for the upcoming Spider-Man Homecoming, and he was Spider-Man for this.
Still a terrible title, but I'm happy about it. I'm excited to see it now. This movie, his 10-15 minute part in this movie, I didn't give a fuck about Spider-Man movie before.
Nope.
Just his 15-minute presence in this movie, I will go see it opening weekend because he was... It's not just him, but the character and the whole Marvel take on it was that good.
Yeah, apparently, again, from people that I've talked to that are way savvier in this type of subject matter than I am, everyone says, I don't know what they did, but they nailed Peter Parker. That is exactly what he was supposed to be. Fuck Tobey Maguire. Fuck Andrew Garfield.
Well, first off, they got a kid, right? I mean, they were getting Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. These guys are almost 30 years old.
Yeah.
You know, Peter Parker's a fucking high schooler.
Right.
When you first get to know him.
Yeah. So he's very, very, like, very awkward, but not off-putting. And I'm sitting up grinning like an idiot because when he's going in and talking with Tony Stark and his Aunt Hottie... Marissa Tomei, which is really hot, by the way.
Yeah, you think they'll spell Aunt May like that? Like Tomei?
I believe that's the only reason she even got offered the part in the first place is because May, Tomei, cool, you're in. That's fine. So my cousin Vinny's here, too.
She did look hot. She just keeps getting hotter.
Yeah. I would catch a hockey puck in my hand, free-handed.
No doubt.
She can have my untamed heart. So, so she and...
Fucking reference out of fucking nowhere,
you
by
got
the
it.
Way.
But you got it, though.
I did, yeah.
So they're talking, like,
heart.
And they're just talking with each other, and it was just so awkward, and then his scene in the airport is laugh-out-loud funny.
Yeah. Just the airport. From the time he's on screen. The whole back and forth between him with Aunt May in the room, then just him and Tony Stark in the room together, the airport... Every second he was on scene was really well written.
Yeah, and
good
stuff. But I mean, that was the difference between
the first half and the second half of the movie. I agree.
I think the first half was necessary to set up the second half. They probably
what a glowing endorsement of the first half.
Well,
it was necessary.
It was necessary. You know what? They probably could have mixed it up a little bit. They probably could have had a couple things peppered in. Pepper Potts did. Thank you. But. Everyone was cheering. Everyone was having such a good time watching from the second half
on. Yes, and myself included. Once they introduce those characters, it is a fun, fun movie.
Yeah, and just thinking about how, you know, again, you're seeing, like, superheroes, like, fight with each other, and the special effects are amazing, and the thank you... You're welcome, Captain America, and
Paul Rudd.
Man,
how that see, it was great to have characters introduced in the middle because it did sort of liven things up.
Yeah,
but I gotta say, as a filmmaker, please, if you have the chance to have Paul Rudd in your movie, you need to have him at the beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah,
like that guy he's got it, baby.
He's got that juice.
Oh my god, he was so fucking funny.
Yeah, it almost made me feel kind of bad that why can't I get more of get more of Vision, who didn't really do anything and has the most.
No, the scene with him cooking was funny.
He's got the most powerful fucking thing on Earth in the middle of his head, and all he can do is
walk through walls.
Walk through walls.
He's basically Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, good job. Another issue that I had, but it was fucking fun. The Batman versus Superman was lacking that.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt. Batman versus Superman is the first half of Civil War for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Civil War sort of writes itself in the middle. And again, I know that not everyone agrees with that, but right. I think upon subsequent viewings, people will sort of see that. The first half is kind of a trudge to get through.
You know, the other thing, too, is that I understand that, you know, the movie may not have appealed. I mean, obviously, if it hadn't appealed to as many people as I thought it was going to, then it would have made 225 instead of 180.
Right. We said that last week, 225, something like that.
Yeah, and I think both of us said that it was going to make at least 200, but I think probably what kind of killed it is what you were mentioning last week was that, you know, we have a superhero movie every single month.
Yeah, I agree.
That we're going to have one.
I agree with myself from last week.
I did a good job. Thank me. Thank you for thanking me. So the convenience of being in the moment, you know, everything is laid out perfectly so that, of course, they're going to find the dead guy in the bathtub because the guy called for bacon and coffee and, you know, got through. Or, of course, you're going to have Winter Soldier. Like, all these superheroes have, like, extraordinary powers, but they just don't know when to use them for the right time. They can either turn themselves, clear and walk through walls or shit.
Right.
Or they can actually fire a goddamn laser from their fucking brain and you know, knock the shit out in 15 minutes. Like, right. We don't have to worry about it anymore.
That's what I'm saying. They could fucking kill each other in a second if they wanted to. They're just, like, duking it out by the fucking... By the belt that carries your luggage from the little car to the plane.
Right. But, you know, the other thing, too, is that, you know, we're obviously going to nitpick because we are that's our MO. We like that. We like to, you know, kind of analyze, criticize, and, you know, just kind of go in depth when it comes to movies.
It's a movie show. We talk about it.
Right. I was asking Tina, the girlfriend, when we were driving back, and she's never really watched most of the MCU. She's watched things that I've watched and when it's convenient for her because she's got other obligations that she has to do.
She's not that into it.
I asked her what she thought of it and she said she liked it. She liked it a lot because she said that Robert Downey Jr. was funny because, you know, you know that he's going to, you know, give you a zinger and he's going to be sarcastic, really funny, et cetera, et cetera. Also because she said, and this was the reason why I was looking all the actors from this movie up before, as far as past projects, before they actually got into the MCU, is it's really, really easy to watch a movie when you've got people that you know, as opposed to, hey, you've got one big star and a bunch of no-name people. But no, you've got ScarJo, you've got Chris Evans, you've got Robert Downey Jr., you've got, you know, this person, that person. So that helped. She also liked kind of the camaraderie that everyone felt where, you know, everyone was clapping, everybody was laughing. Everyone stayed afterwards for the two after credit scenes.
Yeah, both kind of throwaways.
Yeah, they were kind of throwaways. But she was very impressed that, you know, that was still something that was able to happen where, you know, people will just clap at the end.
Yeah.
But they won't cheer during the movie and immediately shut up afterwards.
Yeah, you do have to remember, though, you're seeing it on opening weekend.
Right.
You go next weekend, literally like 5-6 days after the movie's released, you probably won't see that kind of cheering.
Right.
What you're seeing in that theater right then is the uber nerds. And you go next week, and it's going to be families and, you know, the older crowd and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So I base my like, probably like a little bit more, although I will admit that it's slightly lessened because now that I'm thinking about it and I watched it the second time.
Right.
And there are things where you don't have to necessarily pay attention to the movie or just kind of, you know, looking further into it, you know, where, you know, plot and incoherence and character development and all that sort of thing.
Well, it's not incoherent at all. There's not much plot to be incoherent, to be honest.
I mean, but it's very easy to understand.
Yes, no. Yeah,
without pandering and being idiotic. It also expects a lot of the viewer where you don't have the super slow-mo 3-minute introduction that you don't need. You don't need introductions for these things anymore. Just get to the fucking movie. And they did.
Yeah, like I said, there was lots of callbacks to Winter Soldier and things like that. And I'm like, wait, what was that? Who cares? Like, it doesn't matter.
And I also watched, I did my homework and I watched Winter Soldier Saturday. And then I watched Captain America later on that day. Or I think I watched one Friday night and the second one on Saturday afternoon. First Avengers. All right. It's kind of hokey, but it's an origin story. It was directed by Joe Johnston, who directed Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Jumanji, The Rocketeer. It actually kind of reminded me of The Rocketeer.
I like the... I'm going to fucking blow everyone's mind right now.
Here you go.
I like the first Avenger the best out of all three of the fucking movies.
Really? Okay.
I do. That's my kind of superhero movie. It's not like, you know, there's a story. It moves from here to there. You see the character sort of like develops and learns things and goes through a change and, you know,
You like origin stories a lot.
I do like origin stories because there's a fucking story. That's what I like about it. And you're right. I never thought about it before, but many of my favorite superhero movies are sort of origin stories. It's got Hugo Weaving in it as Red Skull. He's really fucking good.
Stanley Tucci's in it.
It's not perfect. It is a little cheesy. The second one was sort of fine. Like, everyone went nuts over it. Like, oh, it's a spy movie, but it's just, you know, superhero. I thought it was fine. I remember almost nothing from it. And I gotta say, for me, the least interesting character in The Winter Soldier or in Captain America Civil War is the Winter Soldier. Yeah. Right. That whole storyline, which they spend the entire movie of The Winter Soldier and quite a bit of Civil War.
Right.
That whole character is very uninteresting to me. And, you know, for what it's worth, I don't know if another actor could do it better. It's not Sebastian Stan or whatever his fucking name is.
Sebastian Stan of Black Swan and Hot Tub Time Machine.
Blair Swan. It's not his fault. It has nothing to do with him or his performance.
Right.
There's not much there. He's basically playing Soldier, that Kurt Russell movie, you know, where he spent like 17 words in it.
Shit. Like, oh, yeah, Soldier.
Yeah, it's basically that. Yeah. And it's just very uninteresting to me. That's not in the first movie. Well, he's in it. He's Bucky, you know.
Right.
Supposedly dies.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite of it. Did you find that watching those two movies made any difference when you went to see Civil War?
I thought they got better.
You think they get better?
Yeah.
So you think this one is better than Winter Soldier, which is better than First Avenger?
Correct.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I feel the exact opposite. Well, really? We both agree on one thing. Winter Soldier is the number two.
The number two. That's right. That's right. It was because, you know, the first one was fine. The second one was serious, and it got, you know, kind of into this gravitas territory when it came to the Winter Soldier and the espionage, and Robert Redford is acting.
Yeah.
And Samuel L. Jackson's also acting as much as he possibly can. Which, by the way, when you go back and watch it, if you ever decide to go back and watch it, and
probably not.
Again, he dies in the movie, quote unquote.
Right.
Fakes his own death so he can not appear in subsequent movies thereafter. Because I think he was in Ultron. Wasn't he in Ultron?
God, I don't fucking remember.
Right.
I don't remember at all.
12 fucking movies in. Yeah, there you go.
Ultron was very forgettable for me.
This was not. Civil War was not for me. I remember this a lot more. I mean, obviously, I just saw it, but
what's to fucking remember? Like, they're fucking punching each other.
There's
like
12 fucking guys, though. They're the fucking airport scene, man.
I guess. I don't know. I feel like a year from now, you could ask me if fucking Nick Fury was at the airport scene in Civil War, and I'd be like, maybe? Oh, yeah. Somebody jabbed him in his other eye. Like, no.
But the headstone in Winter Soldier is Nicholas
Cage. No recollection of that whatsoever.
Neither did I until I just watched it. I just watched Saturday afternoon or Friday night, and it said Nicholas Cage and
Nicholas Cage.
Not Nicholas Cage. Nick Fury. We'll get to why I said Nicolas Cage later on the Untitled Movie Podcast on More Like Radio.
Why am I dead?
It's acting. That's why he's a 2-time Academy Award nominee and winner.
Sure, it didn't say Ghost Rider.
The headstone is Nick Fury, The Path of the Righteous Man, because they quoted Ezekiel 25:17 on there.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I thought it was a good Easter egg. But
that's funny. That's a good Easter egg from some Arrested Development guys.
Yeah, so I don't know. It was fun. No, it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun at all. It was very serious. It was like very bleak and all that sort of thing. Civil War was fun. That's what I want in a superhero movie. I want fun, man.
Yeah, but it does contain fun.
Right.
I would not call the whole movie fun.
No, it's not. The Dark Knight's not all fun either.
No, it's not.
There's a lot of wow moments in the Dark Knight.
It's also not dull in the first half. It's also not just people hitting each other. Like, literally, you'll have a scene of like two guys hitting each other, occasionally three guys,
right.
And then they run for a mile and a half.
Yeah,
and they start punching each other again, and then we cut to a scene where some people are talking in very serious faces and furrowed brows.
Right,
and they make some revelations about some videotape that they found and things like that. Cut to another scene of guys punching each other.
They have to return their videotapes.
I have to return some videotape. Somebody throws somebody over a balcony, or like throws somebody down some stairs. Run, 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 run. Punch, 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 punch. Run, right. Run, 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 run. Furrowed brow, talking videotapes. Run, 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 run. And then eventually we get to a scene where Tony Stark is at Peter Parker's house and the fucking movie busts wide open and right. It becomes fun.
Okay.
But I think a lot of fanboys watch this movie and they're like, oh, it was the greatest thing ever made.
Yeah.
Yes, I already saw on the Facebook all weekend long. It's not like my fucking grandpa on the Facebook.
On the face. Drop the "the".
People are talking about
it's cleaner.
It's cleaner. Timberlake. You know, they're like, oh, it's the best superhero movie ever made and all this kind of stuff. Give me a fucking break. Come on.
Wait. Well, how about this? You pose the question. What are your top five superhero movies now?
Yeah, it begs the question because people are all over the internet saying this is one of the best superhero movies ever made, if not the best. Some people flat out have said it's the best superhero movie I've ever made. Okay. You got a list?
I have my list.
You got a list of five?
I have my list of five. I would like to hear yours first.
I threw my list together pretty quickly because I don't give a fuck. But I did think about it for at least 7 minutes.
I went through a list of superhero movies.
Yeah, I did the same
on the internet. Yep, and I was like, that one.
Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance. There it is.
Hey, yep. Listen, I don't know about people and their hate towards the Shadow, but
The Shadow. God, I forgot about that. That wasn't even on
my list. Or the first Judge Dredd.
All right, let's go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
You're five.
Deadpool.
That's top five for you.
Mm-hmm.
I kept a couple of newer movies off my list only because they were so new, I feel like they need to breathe a little bit. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But Deadpool was so fun.
It's fun.
And that's what I like is fun. I think we agree on that. We just disagree on whether Civil War was terribly fun or not.
Right.
But, yeah, good choice. All right, let's go back and forth.
Okay.
My five, number five,
yeah,
is Hellboy.
Hellboy's good.
Love Hellboy.
God damn it.
And I am not a huge Guillermo del Toro fan.
Well, neither am I, because everything that he's made since then is kind of questionable.
It's not even since then. Some of the stuff he made before then, somber, dark, fucking, like, tough to get through. Like,
have you seen Pan's Labyrinth again since it originally came out?
Yeah, I saw it. It was on cable not too long ago, and I watched it. Underwear, beer in hand. And I do like Pan's Labyrinth. Labyrinth's kind of hard to dislike, because it's just so, like, visually so fucking stunning.
Yeah.
That you don't sort of care about the storyline. It doesn't really matter.
Right.
But I know what you're getting at. Like, definitely not fun. Definitely not something I would describe as fun. But Hellboy is fun.
Yeah, and Hellboy is fun.
And Golden Army 2 is fun. And by the way, when it came down to sequels, I did not put sequels on this list. Because I probably would have put two from the same series.
Ah, okay.
But I decided to refrain from that.
Okay. Yeah.
But just anecdotal. Go ahead. What's your number four?
Batman Returns.
Batman Returns. Mm-hmm. Your list is surprising me right now.
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah, I love that movie. I love that movie a lot. I feel like they nailed all of the principal characters. You've got Chris Walken in a yes. secondary villain role.
Max Schreck. One of the most like memorable villains for me from a lot of movies, and he's a secondary villain.
Lot of
it's actually third if you think about it.
Yeah, a lot of memorable lines that I still use even to this day.
Hey, you know, it could be worse.
Your nose could be gushing.
Nose
could be gushing blood. Yeah. Michelle Pfeiffer's so goddamn hot.
Yep, definitely.
Danny DeVito nails the penguin.
You know my biggest complaint, and I love Batman Returns too. My biggest complaint with Batman Returns, nothing for Michael Keaton to do.
No.
That was when the villains taking over the movie sort of started.
Right.
And you left one of the greatest actors on the planet, one of the greatest dramatic and comedic actors on the planet, with not much to do.
But didn't they do the same thing with Batman? Because it was basically Jack Nicholson
kind
of running it as well. I mean, I don't think it was really on Michael Keaton. I think it's more along the lines of, you know, Tim Burton and...
But they still gave him some good funny scenes, like, you know, when he's doing some Bruce Wayne stuff, or when he's like, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts! Like, they give him some really meaty stuff like that,
but
too.
But then it gets siphoned away when Jack Nicholson's asking him...
No doubt. It's fucking Nicholson. Like, you get Nicholson in your movie. I'm sure when Michael Keaton heard that, he was like, fuck.
Yeah. But, you know. No, I love the story that Michael Keaton had said on Jimmy Kimmel in regards to Jack Nicholson and his work with...
When they're in makeup.
Morning, Michael.
No, Keats.
Oh, Michael Kimmel. Morning, Keats. Because they taped the Lakers game. I guess they were in the playoffs at the time, and they wanted to watch it at 4 o'clock in the morning in Berlin.
Nicholson's shooting schedules always have to revolve around the Lakers schedule.
Yeah. What is your four?
Number four for me is the Avengers. First Avengers movie.
Okay.
I think the Avengers is what people are saying about Civil War.
Right.
It's fucking fun, soup to nuts, beginning to end. It is a fun, fun, fun movie.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have much of a slow part, doesn't have much of a super serious, it certainly doesn't have an hour of people punching each other and running downstairs.
Right.
And I just think it did everything that Civil War was trying to do.
Damn it, I really kicked me in when and it will happen, because it's happened with all other movies that have any sort of affiliation with Disney, when it comes back in on the big screen, I'm going to go and watch it, because I didn't do it when it originally came out.
Avengers?
Mm-mm.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean... Civil War's fine, but this movie did it first. And by the way, if you remember, this movie also got great reviews when it came out. Had a great rating, had a lot of buzz. People were saying it's the best comic book movie ever made.
Yeah.
And then sort of time has, I don't know, like people just decided it wasn't that great or something. Nobody talks about it anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was a lot of fun. Your number three?
Number three is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah, because I had no expectation. In fact, my friend Keith, he was telling me about how he had absolutely no expectations in regards to Guardians of the Galaxy, and I think that...
number three for me, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, shit, look
showing
at you.
Showing you my list
Yeah,
as
you are
we
showing
speak.
Me the list. Who's Chris Pratt?
Yeah.
Zoe Saldana? Wasn't she the Avatar chick?
Yeah.
And they got Batista. Man, I thought he was still in WWE. I thought he was wrestling and
you
shit.
You feel like it's going to be one of these movies like John Cena, The Mercenary, or something like that.
Yeah,
what the
fuck's
Batista doing in this fucking movie? Guardians of the Galaxy. You want to talk about fun? And a movie that does not forget to be fun ever.
Right.
Like, from the first scene to the last scene.
Oh, shit, the first scene's fucking making me cry because of the, you know, take my hand. I'm like, God damn it already? Like, it's...
Right.
You're thinking it's going to be a Pixar movie, you know, with like Up or Toy Story 3 when they're holding hands on the conveyor belt and shit.
But it's also got style.
Yeah.
It's got that great soundtrack. It's got fantastic action.
Yeah.
It's got Bradley Cooper playing a fucking crazy mutant raccoon who steals the movie.
Shit, and Benicio Del Toro in a really creepy, off-putting role.
The Collector, that scene's got a whole bunch of stuff. You know, James Gunn had made some movies, a couple of movies.
Slither
and Super, both good movies.
Super's great.
Yeah, both are very good. Slither's great.
Yeah.
They're both a lot of fun, sort of had cult followings, but weren't very successful.
Yeah.
Marvel took a gamble on him and made this movie with him, and it just took off. And for me, this is what comic book movies have to do if they want to be sort of noticeable, which is bring something new to the table.
Of course.
And it brought this level of style and a level of comedy that we had not seen. Avengers is funny. Iron Man is funny, mostly because of Robert Downey Jr. for both of those movies.
Right.
This was a different kind of funny. This was, like, the whole movie sort of had this, like, comedy culture in it.
Everyone they wanted you under the joke.
Yeah, everybody in the movie was speaking the same sort of comedy language.
Right.
And the audience was in on the joke, you're right. And, man, super memorable. I can't wait to see the sequel.
No, neither can I.
Yeah.
And can't wait to listen to the soundtrack either, because...
Yeah, the soundtrack was so fucking good. That opening scene with him, like, dancing while he's going to retrieve this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, like, iconic.
That sets the precedent for the entire film moving forward.
It absolutely does. It's like, I fucking love this movie. We are 3 minutes into it.
Right.
And I fucking love this movie.
Right, yeah. Right. What is your number two?
Number two for me is Batman Begins. Origin story.
Okay.
I love all three of the Batman movies that Christopher Nolan made.
Okay.
I love origin stories, and you know, they are in a different universe. The first two are. The third one is, you know, highly flawed, okay. Although I still like it. The first two are kind of in a different universe for the most part with comic book movies, superhero movies. In that universe, I just prefer the first one. I love the second one, too. It's not on my list.
Right.
If I were including two, I probably might have had to kick something else off my top five.
Okay.
Certainly in my top 10, I love The Dark Knight. But Batman Begins just introduced us to these characters. These great performances, Christian Bale first and foremost, Morgan Freeman, you know, everybody else in the movie.
Liam Neeson
was Gary fantastic Oldman. In it. Gary Oldman, Joffrey from Game of Thrones makes his little appearance in it.
do you prefer Katie Holmes or Maggie Gyllenhaal?
I don't think Maggie Gyllenhaal sort of had enough to do in the first movie, and frankly, Maggie Gyllenhaal didn't have much to do in the second movie.
Right.
Katie Holmes didn't have much to do in the first movie.
Right.
But I like Katie Holmes. I've always, you know, kind of had a boner for Katie Holmes.
Yeah. So.
And Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Well, of course.
Yeah. And Christian Bale.
And Liam Neeson.
Yeah. And Morgan Freeman.
You are.
And Joffrey from Game of Thrones.
You are taken by him.
Oh.
I know. I'm sorry.
Well, I like dark men.
My number two is also an origin story. It is
number
The Incredibles.
Number two. The Incredibles. Ooh, I didn't even think about The Incredibles. Great fucking movie.
Super, super fun. Pixar movie. Superhero movie, nonetheless. Directed by Brad Bird, who also did Ghost Protocol?
Ghost Protocol, yeah. And I think Tomorrowland?
I never saw Tomorrowland. Ghost Protocol is fun, though.
Yeah, Ghost Protocol is fun.
Which was the reason why he got the job directing that movie from Tom Cruise was because he did such an admirable job on The Incredibles. Because it's fun. It's got Craig T. Nelson. It's got... Holly Hunter, it's got fucking Jason Lee in the bad guy role as Syndrome.
Yep,
it's
Wallace Shawn.
Super, super good.
Inconceivable!
That's right. And it also has Brad Bird as Edna Mole.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's ever been a animated movie that had action like that, before or since.
No.
Like, action, not like that. I mean, that was like true action. Like,
yeah.
It was super fucking exciting shit.
Yeah.
Sam Jackson.
Sam Jackson's Frozone.
Where is my super suit?
But yeah, that it was fun. It introduced you to brand new characters that you've never heard before. They're going to have a sequel, as they should.
Waited too long. Pixar needs to figure out their sequel thing.
You know?
They're waiting too long.
Well, they should have had this one done before Cars.
No doubt. Or Monster University or Planes.
Yeah. What is your number one?
Number one for me? Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, motherfucker. That's a good one.
Yeah,
God damn it.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
That's really good.
You want to talk about fun.
That is
fun. Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Edgar Wright, man. One of the great, like, if I got to make a list of top five movies I wish had been made.
Yeah.
As much as I like Ant-Man, and if I make a top 10, Ant-Man might squeeze in there. You know?
Ant-Man by Edgar Wright.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about Ant-Man by Peyton Reed or whatever that ended up making the movie. Ant-Man by Edgar Wright. Is what I wanted to see. That's what everyone wanted to see.
Just out of curiosity, what would be the other four that should have happened or you wish would have happened?
Comic book movies or movies?
Just movies.
Oh, God, I didn't make that list up. I'm just saying, you know, like, I'm sure there's...
Do you have another example just off the top of your head that you can think of?
Christ. No. No, but this is one... I mean, Edgar Wright worked on this movie for, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there was, like, creative differences and
yeah.
It just didn't fucking happen. It's like, oh my God. Let's see, Jodorowsky's Dune. Did you see that? Yeah, you need to see that documentary because that's really, really fucking good. And then I'd have to go to another documentary, Terry Gilliam's Man from La Mancha.
Oh, that's right.
Lost in La Mancha.
I've been trying to make that for fucking years.
Those are two, you know, sort of famous ones that
yeah.
I would love to have seen. Jodorowsky's Dune, I gotta tell you, like, when you watch that movie, I don't give a fuck about Dune, and I don't give a fuck about Jodorowsky, but you watch that documentary, and you're like, God damn, I wish this movie had been made. This sounds fucking nuts.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then you go and you see the David Lynch, and it's like, oof.
Did you read the Scott Pilgrim comics?
I did not. Wait, I thought of one more. Oliver Stone was originally supposed to make American Psycho with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, fuck, I forgot about that. That's right.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen that.
And Mary Harron took over instead, which, I mean...
No, great job. Great awesome. Fucking movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish she did more. I did not read the Scott Pilgrim books before or after.
Right.
Frankly, I don't care to, because I'm not a comic book reader. I don't care, you know. I feel like this movie was more Edgar Wright. Maybe fans of the comic book could tell me otherwise. Have you read them?
No, I have not.
Yeah.
I know my friend, or our friend, Kayla Willis. She's a big fan of
it. It feels so Edgar Wright. Like, it feels very much like Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Like, the comedy, the timing, everything about it.
It's really good.
So fucking funny. It's a great cast. Yeah.
You've got two superheroes in it, too. You've got Superman and Brandon Routh, and you've got Chris Evans.
That's right. Yeah, oh yeah, Chris Evans. Yeah, that's right. That's actually hilarious.
My number one, I mean, you already know my number one.
I know what it is. Yeah. You saw it fucking 9 times.
Six times, whatever. Yeah. But, just 6 times in the theater. I'm sure I've seen it more than that. Yeah, when I saw Dark Knight, and in various stages of inebriation or clear-headed, and it was the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen.
It was cool as shit. Still is.
I totally get it. I know that there's inconsistencies throughout. You can nitpick these things to death. We are not CinemaSins or any of that shit.
This movie's so good. I don't think many people pick this movie apart, though. I really don't. Like, maybe you could, and nothing even jumps to mind. It's kind of like Jaws. You could pick Jaws apart,
yeah,
but nobody does because it's too fucking good.
Right.
That's the difference between, you know, a good movie and a bad movie.
The physics of when the tumbler gets hit by the rocket launcher when the Joker hits it, and it kind of flips over, and it's about to fall down, but then it just goes full bore through a brick wall where all the guys are eating ham sandwiches and whatnot.
You want to get into physics, like the fucking semi-truck, like flipping upside down like it does. Yeah, like
but
kind of stuff, sure.
But then you've got the self-destruct launch sequence, and the Batpod is something that does exist because they show
one guy in the world can drive the fucking thing.
One French motherfucker that is now as arrogant as can be, like, I drove the Batpod.
Yeah,
suck my dick.
You think he's got like a Le Batman tattoo on his back or something?
Wearing a Le Bat.
Le Batman.
Drinking Le Bat Blue.
Le Bat Blue.
Le Bat Black Man. Dark Knight is the end all be all for me. It's the standard, and so
one of the great villain performances of all time.
God damn it.
Yeah, one of the great superhero movies of all time,
and no one expected it. Everyone was ready for this. Oh, this is going to be fucking garbage.
Oh, fanboys hated it.
Yeah, fucking hit the guy from A Knight's Tale.
Yeah,
10 things I hate about you. 10 things I hate about this.
Yeah,
and then
superhero movies were not huge at the time. Like, sort of the X-Men movies had come out, Spider-Man movies had come out, been a handful of others.
Right,
but we didn't have the Marvel universe yet. Iron Man had not taken place yet, so it wasn't in this full gear that it's in now.
Yeah.
But Batman Begins came out in, like, 2005, and then Dark Knight came out, what, 3 years later or whatever. Batman Begins made money, but it was not, like, a phenomenon or anything.
No.
Dark Knight was a phenomenon. It had been enough years that people had seen Batman Begins on Blu-ray and on DVD and realized that it was a super good movie, and it made a lot of money in the theater, too. So it
made a ton of money in the movie theater.
Batman Begins, I'm talking about.
Oh, Batman Begins, yeah. I'm sorry.
And then Dark Knight comes out and just made a fucking shitload of money.
Batman Begins made $206 million total.
Yeah, decent.
Yeah, Dark Knight, on the other hand, made more than that. It made, where the hell are you at? It's got to be $534 million.
Wow.
Dark Knight Rises made $448 million, but, I mean, I know some parts about it. I couldn't tell you. Not as much as Dark Knight, obviously, but...
For me, Dark Knight sort of loses it in the third act.
Yeah.
Once we get to the ship, you know, like the boat where they got all the people on hostage and the bridge and tunnel crowd and all this kind of stuff.
I like the fight in the high-rises, the tower.
Fine. Joker swinging, you know, afterwards and everything, like, we're just like me, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good because you get to see Joker one last time, and it's hard to watch that movie and not think about, like, not only is this the last time you see the Joker in the movie, it's the last time we're going to see Heath Ledger. Fanboys lost their shit when Heath Ledger was announced.
Which made more opening weekend, Dark Knight Rises or Dark Knight?
I would guess Dark Knight Rises.
160 to 158.
Wait, which one was 160?
Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bane!
That's my name.
Bane, that's my name.
You suck, Bane! Who said that?
Steve! Pizza! Gotham City's not even known for its pizza.
DJ, drop a beat.
Bane, I loved Bane, but if the second movie sort of loses it 15 minutes from the end, the third movie sort of loses it 45 minutes from the end. Kind of loses it almost halfway through the movie.
It's too long. It's like 20 minutes too long. But which you could very well say that about Dark Knight.
You can say that about many movies. Yeah. It's not necessarily... By the way, I disagree with you about Civil War. I think it feels 2.5 hours, for
Does
sure.
Does it really?
Because of the first half, for me.
I'm just in love with... I mean, first half, we can disagree whether or not it's, you know, boring or not. But second half... Makes all the difference. Like I will gladly watch the first half to get to Peter Parker in Queens.
No doubt, and that's what I'm saying. Like if you ask me, if I'm giving a Rotten Tomatoes review of Civil War, like I've either got to give a Rotten Tomato or a
certified fresh tomato.
Yeah. I give it a certified fresh tomato.
Oh, of course,
it's a red tomato. Like it is. If this is your thing, if you do not like superheroes, not like me, I kind of could care one way or the other.
Yeah.
But if you're a person who's like, I don't like superhero movies, don't fucking go see it.
Yeah.
It's a superhero movie.
Yeah.
And while I don't like punch, 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 run, 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 I do like the part where they get creative with the action sequences and you got 12 guys fighting each other and that kind of stuff. I do like that.
Well, right. And you also don't have to go into the origin story for Spider-Man because everybody knows the origin story for Spider-Man.
They did the origin story right there. They're like, here's your fucking origin story.
Yeah. Fucking nerd.
Choke on it.
He's not going to miss homework to go fight in Berlin for you, Tony Stank. So, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder, is there going to be an origin story in the Homecoming movie?
God, I hope not. They don't need to.
I hope not.
12 fucking movies in? Like, if you don't know about Spider-Man...
He was bitten by a fucking spider.
Just read it on a... Read Jesus a goddamn book.
Christ.
Read a goddamn book, as Sean Waters would say. So, yeah, made $100 million. We both like it.
Oh,
bottom
yeah.
line.
Yeah, liked it.
Now, I also saw another movie because we are past an hour.
Right.
But I would like to talk about two more things before we end the Untitled Movie Podcast on morelikeradio.com. I saw Keanu.
Ooh, Key and Peele.
And it...
Should I go see it? I like Key and Peele.
You should wait until it comes out on DVD.
No shit.
It's, you know, the premise is that this... It actually goes by... pretty quick as far as the setup where this guy broke up with his girlfriend and his girlfriend broke up with him. He's a cousin to this black guy that is as uber white Caucasian, very suburban dude as you can possibly get. And he finds a cat on his doorstep. He falls in love with the cat. He gets overly attached to it. And then the cat's stolen apparently by some drug.
The cat is Keanu.
Correct. It's nothing that you haven't seen in their shows where their show is extremely funny. I know that you've seen it. You watch the show?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen every episode, but I've seen Key and Peele and I like it.
They have this thing on the show that they do where the joke that they say is really, really funny. Then they repeat it again.
Yeah.
Then they repeat it again. I'm like, then you can just like, you could stop like two steps where you're at as far as the joke is concerned. And then they come in with another joke. Same thing with Keanu.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's funny. You could probably wait until you actually, have it on DVD or on demand or anything else.
Right.
So there's a bunch of people that are in it too.
I love stupid, funny action movies.
It is stupid, funny. If you're sitting in your underwear wearing, drinking your beer, it'll definitely be funny. Or if, you have gummy bears or whatnot. It's, huge love to George Michael because the guy is all about listening to father figure with these like, gangsters in training, and he's talking about how he's driving a minivan to be inconspicuous as shit. You wanna cause attention to yourself? My this or that? So it's all right.
All right. Well, I'll see it when it comes out. Yeah. I mean, I do like stupid action comedy stuff like MacGruber and things like that.
I would say it's along those
lines. Yeah, that's kind of what it looked like. So I'll definitely see it. I'll wait.
Plus, it also is 90 minutes.
Love that.
So
love that.
Yeah. Just I've got shit to do, Chris.
Movie's got to be 2.5 goddamn hours long. Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's not. I mean, when I watched Batman vs. Superman, it felt like it was 3.5 hours. And when I watched Civil War, it felt, you know, pretty quick. I mean, obviously, the second time around felt, you know what to expect.
Punch, punch, punch. Run, right.
But, you know, with Keanu, it's fun. It's quick. Like, there's really not much that you need to put into it as far as, right. You know, plot points and everything. There's the same joke that they do, and then they switch it up with something else. There's a couple surprises in the movie.
A couple cameos, I've heard.
Correct, that I don't want to spoil for you, right. Unless you've already heard it first.
No, I didn't hear any names. I just heard that there was cameos. So.
They're pretty funny.
Yeah.
They're pretty funny. Yeah, they're very surprising, and it's fun. It's Key and Peele. Like, I hope that they do more movies as a result of the success that this movie's getting, not necessarily of a financial state, but everyone seems to like it.
Yeah,
so.
Saw them on The Daily Show, and they were, you know, seemed like they're going to make more movies.
Yeah. A couple more things, too, is that I would like to mention that we also do have an official Twitter account, Chris, where you can message us directly or tweet at us as far as what you would like to hear, comments, opinions, etc. It is the Untitled Movie Podcast, or the UMP on MLR, which would be Untitled Movie Podcast on morelikeradio.com, because my Twitter account needs to be left alone.
Ooh.
So nothing happened.
Been touched too closely?
No, nothing like that.
Show me on this doll where your Twitter account was touched.
Where you were direct messaged. No, it's nice to have something official. Plus,
yeah.
Plus we also used a logo that is very reminiscent of our former employer, Blockbuster Video, which is no longer in existence. So we can basically have creative license to do whatever the hell we want with it. And so we wanted to thank Mitch of Hippo Juice and More Like Radio fame for helping us out with the logo.
Yeah, great job with it.
Yeah, the last thing that I wanted to talk about tonight is, so the new Radiohead album came out today.
Right.
God, I can't remember what the fuck it's called now.
Something cryptic and weird.
It's always something cryptic and weird. No. Well, what do you think of Radiohead now?
I like Radiohead. I sort of liked them. It's kind of cliche to say. I think a lot of people say it, but I kind of liked them better the first half of their careers. Okay. I feel the opposite of Captain America Civil War. I like the first half. I don't care much for the second half.
Right.
Kid A was kind of the dividing line for me, and I think for a lot of people.
Okay.
I liked Kid A.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to hear them go off and do something else, and they've kind of been making a version of Kid A
ever since
then.
Okay.
I did like In Rainbows, but again, that sort of, it's kind of Kid A-ish, and I kind of want them to go off and do something different.
Yeah, their new album is called A Moon-Shaped Pool.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So again, very weird and opaque. But the reason why I bring it up, it is movie-related, but their newest music video was directed, it's called Daydreaming, and it was directed by P.T. Anderson.
One of the best directors on the planet.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously he's directed Boogie Nights. You were talking about Inherent Vice a couple of weeks ago. I know that he's also directed There Will Be Blood, which he got nominated for Best Director on that.
The Master, Heartache, Punch Drunk Love, one of my favorite romantic comedies.
Yeah, probably if, you know, you're bringing up an Adam Sandler movie that anybody loves universally, it's going to be that one. So
everybody loves universally?
As far as Punch Drunk Love?
Fucking Adam Sandler fans hate Punch Drunk Love.
Do they really?
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
You ever talk, next time you meet someone
that
says they love Adam Sandler movies, bring up Punch Drunk Love.
Okay.
Most people hate it.
Why?
Our friend John Adams hated it. People just don't get it, or especially, I mean, if you think about it, like, that movie, there's a reason he never made anything like that again. First of all, nobody's ever made anything like that. That movie's one of a kind.
Right.
It's not his style of comedy at all.
Oh, no, but that's why it's so interesting.
That's why it's so great to me, too. I love it. And I think Adam Sandler is fantastic in it. I think he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But it is not him doing funny voices and making dick and fart jokes and, you know, like putting, you know, flaming shit on people's doorstep and all, you know, and like talking to a fucking swan in the bathtub and all this kind of stuff.
But they all, you know, it's also along the same lines of Jim Carrey. Like, everybody wants him to, you know, talk out of his butt, but then, you know, if I want to talk about one of my favorite roles, it would be Eternal Sunshine. So
100%, I agree. But I think if you talk to hardcore Jim Carrey fans, they're like, I like you know, The Mask, and I like Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls, and
Yes
Liar,
Man.
Liar, Liar.
Yeah.
Yes Man's pretty fucking funny, by the way. And you know who directed Yes Man? Same guy that directed Ant-Man, Peyton Reed.
That's right.
Adam Sandler fans fucking hate Punch Drunk Love. But P.T. Anderson, to P.T. Anderson.
P.T. Anderson. P.T. Anderson also directed the videos, the music videos for Across the Universe, Fast as You Can, Limp, and Paper Bag when he was dating Fiona Apple.
Yeah.
And the reason I bring all this stuff up is because I grew up, well, we both obviously grew up watching MTV and music videos, and
yep.
For those that don't know that music videos did actually exist on MTV before Ridiculousness or Teen Mom, I don't know what incarnation they're in now, like 4 or 5.
Never watch it.
Yeah, don't care. Music videos were my bread and butter growing up, and
you could turn it to MTV and it would just be, they would be playing music videos for hours.
Yeah. They would always have the name of the song, the album that it was off of, the production, record label, and then who it was directed by.
Who directed the video in the bottom corner at the beginning and the end of the video.
Yeah. And there's a production company that is no longer in existence called Propaganda Films that was founded primarily to initially film music videos during, you know, 80s and 90s and everything, but it was directors Michael Bay, Spike Jonze, and David Fincher.
You don't get three different fucking guys. Like, that's the, like, three most different fucking guys in the world.
Yeah, and so...
that's great. They both directed a lot of music videos.
Yeah, so very quickly, I do want to go through, because it really is interesting, like, we were just talking about Eternal Sunshine with Jim Carrey. Sunshine, which...
Michelle Gondry. Yep.
Yeah, which was...
also another music video director, right? Michel Gondry?
Yes, he directed The Kind Rewind with
yep.
Jack Black and... God, what was his name?
Mos Def.
Yes, very good, very good.
It's funny that you say what was his name, because I don't think that's his name anymore, right? Didn't he change his name?
Yasin Bey?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, something like that. But he also directed Everlong by the Foo Fighters.
Michel Gondry did? Yes, oh, that did. Makes sense, actually.
Hardest Button to Button by the White Stripes.
That makes sense, too.
Around the World by Daft Punk.
This is all starting to make sense.
Wicked Game by Chris Isaak.
Ooh, good video. Good song.
Lucas with the Lid Off. Did you ever see that music video with... the
fuck is that?
It's like one of those one-offs. Radiohead's Knives Out.
Yeah, we're in the post-Kid A period there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tuned down.
I know you like Jonathan Glazer.
Ooh, I love Jonathan Glazer.
He's what movies has he directed?
He directed Sexy Beast. He directed the follow-up Birth, which I think is very interesting, which has Danny Houston and, of course, Nicole Kidman.
Right.
And then most recently, he directed the...
Under the Skin.
Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson. Did you see that?
I did not. I need to.
Gotta see it, man.
I know.
Gotta see it.
Yeah, I know.
It's super good. That's going to be one of those movies that still nobody's talking about it, but in a couple of years, people are going to be talking about it more and more and more.
Gotcha.
Love it.
He directed Radiohead's Street Spirit Fade Out.
Wow.
Karma Police.
Jeez.
Virtual Insanity.
Jonathan Glazer directed Karma Police.
Mm-hmm.
That is interesting.
Virtual Insanity by Jamiroquai.
Now that is like one of the most iconic videos of all time.
Yes,
that was Jonathan Glazer?
And Rabbit in Your Headlights by Uncle.
Wow, that's another one.
Yeah.
A little bit more obscure, but the Jamiroquai video and Karma Police, that's like right in our prime high school days,
yeah,
both
yeah,
of
yeah.
those videos. Yeah.
Speaking of high school days, do you know the director Mark Pellington?
I do. I love Arlington Road, and I sound like Sean William Scott from Jay and Silent Bob there for a second.
Because I love animals.
No, I love Arlington Road, and I like Mothman Prophecies.
He directed, as music videos, Rooster by Alice in Chains,
ooh.
Jeremy's Pearl Jam.
God damn, good shit.
Yeah. And...
I remember seeing that now. His
mm-hmm.
name, Mark Pellington. That mm-hmm. was one of those names you saw at the bottom.
Yeah. Let's go to somebody a little bit more contemporary, because he will be directing a movie soon that we just talked about last week. Antoine Fuqua.
Oh, yeah.
Magnificent
Seven.
Yeah, his first movie was The Replacement Killers with, what was it? Mira Sorvino and
Chow
Yun-Fat. Did King Arthur, the one with...
Yep, Clive
Owen.
Owen, I almost said Barker, but you stopped me.
And Keira Knightley.
Good movie, by the way.
Yeah.
I like King Arthur.
Training Day, obviously, that was the one that he directed, and he will be directing The Magnificent Seven?
Seven Samurai.
He directed... Gangsta's Paradise by Coolio.
No shit.
Another sad love song by Toni Braxton.
Wow. Damon, shout out to you.
Shout out to Damon. Damon, who will be on the podcast, on the Untitled Movie Podcast, when he comes down to Florida in July. F. Gary Gray. Mm. You know you've seen the name F. Gary Gray whenever you've seen rap videos.
Set it off on the left, y'all. Set it off on the right.
Also directed Friday. Also directed The Negotiator. Did you ever see Law Abiding Citizen?
Yeah, saw Law Abiding Citizen.
Nice, stupid fun.
Didn't think much of it. But he did make the Italian Job remake, too, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, no, good director.
Straight out of Compton.
Solid movie, straight out of Compton. Good call, yeah. Solid director.
He's directing Fast 8 next.
Yeah.
He's going to make money off of it, though.
Yeah, he will. And I like those movies.
He's directed Coolio's Fantastic Voyage.
These fucking Coolio references.
Keep Their Heads Ringing by Dr. Dre.
Ooh.
Miss Jackson by Outkast.
Ooh, good one.
Waterfalls by T.I.
Back and making videos still.
It Was a Good Day by Ice Cube.
Wow.
Ice Cube and Dr. Dre.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
I know that I had mentioned it earlier. Simon West, you up, so...
Yeah.
So there's that. Michael Bay directed music videos. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. You told me that.
Not a lot of music videos or anything like that.
What were some of them?
I Touch Myself. He's directed adaptation. He got an Academy Award win for Her.
Being John Malkovich, mine, and I know yours. What's Up, Fat Lip?
Oh, yeah.
What's Fat Lip?
I love Fat Lip. You know all the movies that he's directed. Seven, Jesus. Fight Club.
Alien 3, Seven, Fight Club.
Bad Girl, which did have Matt Dillon and Christopher Walken in it. I don't know if you ever remembered it or watched it. I don't know. It was very interesting with me, kind of learning about stuff like that, because then they'll make these. Gray, I'm sure he's made music videos since he's, made the jump off into Hollywood and all that sort of.
And doing David Fincher soundtracks.
And Trent Reznor won a goddamn Oscar for Social Network, too.
Won an Oscar, and then they worked in movies.
Yeah.
So Fincher's a great, makes great use of music in movies. Zodiac's one of the greatest soundtracks of all time, in my opinion.
It really is. That movie's like, 315, 320, but it doesn't feel like it.
I could watch Zodiac all day long.
Really involved, really, really good. I don't know if you listeners have ever watched Zodiac, but do yourself a solid and check it out.
I mean, talk about pacing and give it like dealing out pieces of information to the audience at exactly the right time to keep them interested in the story.
Yeah.
You start to feel a little bit like, wait, what? And they drop something else that's just keeps you in there. The unbelievable performances from Mark Ruffalo.
Jake Gyllenhaal,
Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. Like, it's one of the things for me about superhero movies when we do talk about all these great actors that are in Civil War. And there are a lot of great... Go see it for the fucking actors, if nothing else.
Yeah.
You got Don Cheadle, William Hurt, Robert Downey Jr., some of these great actors, and they do a great job. William Hurt's in it for, 5 seconds. But he's great, talking about how he pulled his back out on the golf course and all this kind of stuff. I love William Hurt.
Yeah.
I want to see these guys make other movies other than fucking superhero movies.
Robert
Downey Jr. is so fucking good.
When you pay him $50 million.
I would only make superhero movies too if I were him. I'd be like, sorry, can't make that. It is the best script I ever read, but I have to get paid $50 million to go play a role that I've played 9 times before.
Yeah.
And I want to see Robert Downey Jr. do some more shit like that. Make a fucking Iron Man movies if you want to,
I think he's planning on it. Now there's a reconsideration being made, apparently, that he's going to do Iron Man 4.
Good God.
He should. Make the money.
Yeah, but hasn't it been diminishing returns with the Iron Man movies? Like, the second one, we all agree, was like, meh. And then the third one was like, what happened? I don't know. Who cares?
Second one was not great. Third one was all right.
Third one's better than the second one, for sure. Yeah. It's got Guy Pearce in it. It's got Ben Kingsley. Fanboys went crazy over what happened with the Mandarin, but I thought it was actually kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Guy Pearce was wonderful in it. The second one does have Sam Rockwell in a great performance.
Yeah.
And Mickey Rourke's actually pretty good, too. The movie just doesn't come together.
Right.
But I just, you see him in a performance like he is in Zodiac, and it's like, I'm fine with you making Iron Man. I literally think he was born to play the role of Iron Man. I don't think there's anyone else on the planet that could have played that as well as him. And I don't think anyone ever will. It's the kind of thing that if you do start talking about recasting that role, you got a fucking problem. I don't know who the fuck you're going to get to do that.
No.
By the way, it makes me, goes back to something interesting that they do in Civil War, which is quite a few flashbacks. And they have the one flashback with Robert Downey Jr. And they use CGI to make him look young.
It's creepy.
Unbelievably flawless.
Yeah.
Like, that looks like less than zero Robert Downey Jr.
It's Uncanny Valley territory.
It really is. Like, it's pretty flawless, but at the same time, your brain knows that it cannot be, so it becomes creepy.
Right, and then he's standing right behind him, Patricia Clarkson, and...
Hope Davis.
Hope Davis, excuse me. And
again, another great actress.
Oh God, what the hell's his name? I only know him from Mad Men. Slattery.
John Slattery.
So
another good actor.
Yeah. All I know is that this is the Untitled Movie Podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
I know that too, motherfucker.
And Chris Whetten, it's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Likewise.
I think this may be the first time that we've actually disagreed in regards to movie, but that's perfectly fine.
It's a soft disagreement.
It's a push.
Like, we both like the movie. Yeah. I'm not like arguing that it sucked ass. I'm not saying that at all.
No sucking ass.
No. Zero.
No. But
unfortunately. Stay till after the credits. There might be a little sucking ass.
But please do. It would definitely be a lot more interesting than what you were going to do on a Saturday night. But again, tweet at us, TheUMP. On MLR. It's the Untitled Movie Podcast and MoreLikeRadio.com. We went over, but we haven't been told not to do that. So until then, we leave you with Immigrant Song by Karen O, courtesy of Trent Reznor and the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
You all have a good week. We will see you next week.